Welcome back to Niagaoni. My name is Nabila Khalida, taking over my colleague Harits Ashraf Hasnan. All right, the Retail Belanjawan 2023 takes every structured approach to addressing the challenges the nation is expected to face in view of continuing global economic uncertainty. And in the budget speech, the finance minister shared proposed measures to address these challenges. And this is a shift from previous budgets and adopts an approach that is more strategic and reformist in nature in dealing with issues faced by nation as a whole. So to discuss further, joining me virtually this morning is Keegan Ong, tax partner at PwC. Good morning, Keegan.
Good morning, Nabila. All right. Thank you for having me on the show.
No worries. All right, firstly, can you share what's your overall budget or what's your overall take on the budget measures?
Sure. I think as we all are aware, the revised budget was an expansionary budget, right? Where the budget size is even larger.
I would describe the budget as a pragmatic one, where, the finance minister started the budget speech by telling us what are the challenges the country is facing. And he then, laid down all the strategies, the proposals, as well as the initiatives in terms of how the country is going to tackle these challenges, from a short-term, medium-term, and long-term perspective. And what caught my attention is the part on the new tax incentive framework that he mentioned during the speech. There will be a new investment policy as well as new master industrial plan that the government will work on. And I hope the new incentive framework will make Malaysia more competitive in the region when it comes to attracting foreign direct investment.
Looking at the M40 group budget, how are the needs of the M40 group addressed in view of the rising cost of living? And does the tax cut of 2% for income bracket of 35,000 to 100,000 enough to boost their purchasing power? What's your thought on that?
Okay, I think, As we all know, in the past, people have been talking about M40 groups are the ones that are being forgotten or they don't get much tax benefits from the government. To give some perspective, the M40 group salary ranges from 4,850 to about 11,000 per month. So, like what you mentioned, the government heard the concerns, from the M40 group. They proposed a reduction of 2% for the chargeable income group from 35,000 to 100,000. And that actually resulted to about 1,300 savings per year for taxpayers. And the group of taxpayers that will be benefited from this proposal is about 2.4 million. So if you compare this announcement to the previous one in the October, there is an additional 300 ringgit, for taxpayers. And I hope that, with this 1,300, it helps the M40 group to somehow to deal with the rise in cost of living.
If you look at the budget speech, we can see that some of the tax initiatives are a bit hazy at this point of time. For example, the luxury item tax, what might be luxury to some people might not be luxury to some people. And number two, the vape and e-cigarette tax. Can we tax something that is not actually acknowledged under of law? And number three, without a broadened tax base, can we cater the 388 bill budget, especially the ambitious plan to end absolute poverty completely by this year, which we know require a huge amount of money because it isn't about the income. It's about health, income security, nutrition and education, also the mobility and digital divide. So what's your thought on that?
Okay. Malaysia, traditionally, we revise on direct tax as the main source of revenue for the country. So, in the absence of introducing the GST to expand the tax net for the country, and due to various reasons, because the economic uncertainty, the rise in cost of living, and hence, like what you mentioned, the government has introduced some other measures such as the luxury goods tax, the tax, the nicotine products. So if you talk about the luxury goods tax, my view is, what is really important is the government need to determine what are the scope of taxation, what kind of items that will really fall into the luxury goods tax here, right? Because if we look at other neighboring countries, the items that generally fall into luxury goods tax are items such as private jets, vessels, or even some high-end motor vehicles. And, if you look at this type of product, generally it would not affect the so-called the B40 and the M40 group of populations, right? So another matter that you talk about in terms of the nicotine product, the vapings, I guess it's a matter of time where the government would need to put forward some plan, you know, to legalize it, because currently I think it's not a legalized product per se. Of course, on top of that, I think the other measures that the government is also looking at in raising tax revenue would be the special voluntary disclosure program, right? That is a 2.0 version. No, the first one was being introduced back in 2018. And that actually able to raise a revenue of about 7.8 billion for the direct taxes. The indirect taxes, there is a similar program being launched, but there is no official data in terms of the tax collection being collected by the customs. So, you know, the enhanced versions, the 2.0 versions now, it comes with 0% of tax penalty. So as long as the taxpayer will come forward to declare, to make good their taxes, they won't be penalized. So, you know, based on this, I hope that, my view, I think there would be more taxpayers would come forward, you know, to make good their tax surface, to clean out their tax surface and being compliant from there on.
All right, Keegan, we need to attract high impact, higher quality investments in order to produce high-skilled jobs offering. And this will in turn reduce our dependency to lower-skilled foreign labour. So what are some of the initiatives by the government to attract foreign direct investments? Can we compete with regional neighbours in terms of the structural reform needed?
All right. So in the budget speech, the finance minister actually talked about the new industrial master plan. You know, under that new master plan, the government will then determine what is the industry or incentive focus area that the country intends to attract into Malaysia, right? And I think he also talks about the IPA's role will be restructured, and the incentive, you know, how are we going to incentive this investment moving forward? We'll be working towards a tiered tax rate approach, whereby, you know, the investors will be incentivized based on the outcome that they'd be able to deliver. On top of that, I think we have been very good in terms of getting investment into the country. But perhaps something that we can do better would be in terms of to monitor the investment progress by the investors. So hopefully by these two, you know, by the new industrial master plan, it helps to put Malaysia in a more competitive position among the region here.
Keegan, can you share what kind of incentives are available for companies who want to embark their digitalization journey? Because most importantly, how can the red tape be reduced substantially? Because we only have 10 months left for this year.
Okay. So for companies that want to embark on digital journey, we do have this automation capital allowance where taxpayers can actually make applications to MIDA to get the incentive. So for companies that want to embark on digital, they were able to claim automation capital allowance up to 10 million. Earlier on, before this budget, the threshold is actually 2 million and 4 million, depending on the sectors. Now the proposed budget has increased that threshold to 10 million, which is the good news. And it also expanded to cover the agriculture sector. So you know that the government did not forget about the agriculture sectors as well. So this is one of the initiatives that I would urge the taxpayers, the companies out there, who want to automate, you know, or digitalize their businesses, their operations, to really to look out for and apply to MIDA. On top of that, I think there are other grants that the government has also allocated for various initiatives, you know, as part of the digitalization journey.
All right, before we let you go, the CME, or Central of Market Education, saying that the budget 2023 lacks of comprehensive strategy for holistic tax reform. So what's your opinion with regards to tax reform and increased country's revenue?
Okay, I think this topic has been discussed for many, many, many years, right, in terms of whether there's a reform is required, this kind of thing. I think the government is looking at it based on my observations. For example, they are reviewing the tax incentive framework to make the country more attractive. Studies are also ongoing in terms of whether other form of taxes can be introduced or not. That's why I think in this current budget, what we do see is the government is going to study on tax on capital gains, whether that is something that can be implemented in the country. The study will be started, I think the government mentioned about in 2023 with the players in the market. And on top of that, I think like the luxury goods tax is also a form, a way in terms of how governments intend to expand the tax net.
Final question, Keegan. The Ministry of Finance Budget 2023 Touchpoints document indicates that the global minimum tax will be introduced and the qualified domestic minimum top-up tax will be implemented from 2024. What's your thought on this?
Okay. First of all, I think the touchpoint document may be subject to update based on my understanding, because in the budget speech, the finance minister did not talk about the qualified minimum tax in his speech. So if you look at the region, I think countries like Singapore as well as Hong Kong, they have already deferred the so-called the implementation date to 2025. So I think this is something that we need to watch out for, wait for further announcement from the Ministry of Finance. In terms of my view on this qualified minimum tax, certainly it will have an impact in terms of our ability to attract foreign investment into the country. But of course, I also understand that I think the country would need to study the impact and hence, you know, how to make Malaysia more attractive, just apart from using tax incentives to attract foreign direct investment. For example, you know, by providing better infrastructure to the investors, providing better talents as compared to other regions as well.
All right, that is Keegan Ong, the tax partner at PwC in Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.